You are listening to the Practical Islamic Finance Podcast. We hope you find it useful and fun. Anything you hear in this podcast is not to be understood as personalized financial or investment advice and only represents the views of the speaker. Investing entails risk, including loss of principal. Be sure to do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions. Some of the episodes of the podcast are audio versions of corresponding Practical Islamic Finance YouTube videos. If you want to watch the video version of the podcast, simply go to the Practical Islamic Finance YouTube channel. Now, without further ado, bismillah, let's get started. There is no such thing as an Islamic fixed income. Products that claim to offer Sharia-compliant fixed income are either not Sharia-compliant or not really fixed income. In this video, I'm going to explain why this is, and then we're going to talk about sukuk specifically. I highly advise you to watch this video in its entirety because the knowledge you gain is going to save you a lot of heartache and headache in the future, and potentially save you a lot of money, and you're going to see how at the end. By the way, to get my updated comparison of all major halal investing funds, sign up to our newsletter, link in bio. Now, back to the video. The whole idea of halal investing is, if I had to summarize it, is that it's built on profit and loss sharing. So whereas non-halal investing allows you to make loans, collect interest on this loan, regardless of the outcome that is achieved with the borrowed funds, halal investing requires that your return always be a function of whatever the results of the business activity that you helped with through your investment, whatever the results of that activity actually are. So a non-halal way to invest in a pizza shop is to say, I'm going to lend the pizza shop money and I require that the money return to me with increase. If I don't get my money back with an increase, the pizza shop is in default. This is the non-halal way of doing things. This arrangement is just an interest-bearing loan made to the pizza shop. And you can tell that it was a loan because if the principal doesn't return to the investor, the pizza shop is in default. The halal way to invest in the pizza shop is to say, I'm going to invest in this shop and acquire a right to share in the profits that it generates. So if the pizza shop does well, my payout is high and I will likely get back more than what I invested. On the other hand, if the pizza shop doesn't do well, I may not get back the amount that I invested. In either case, regardless of the outcome, whether the pizza shop does well or not, so long as the pizza shop shared the percentage of their income that was agreed on, they are not in default. You see, in order for investing to be halal, it has to be outcome-based. And the outcome of anything, since it exists in the future, cannot be known ahead of time with certainty. Therefore, it is a contradiction to say that a particular investment is both outcome-based and pays predetermined returns. This is why I started this video by saying Islamic fixed income is an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. It's a contradiction in terms. It's one or the other, but it can't be both. Now let's talk about sukuk. So for those who are unfamiliar, bonds are interest-bearing loans. Therefore, they are haram. Sukuk are advertised as an Islamic alternative to bonds. Theoretically, the way they work is that they give the buyer a time-bound ownership share of an asset, which entitles them to a share in whatever cash flows this asset generates. So that may be a lot of jargon, so let's take an example. Let's say a building needed financing. The builders issue sukuk. Investors buy the sukuk, so they provide financing to the builders, and in return, they get a share in whatever rent the building generates in the future. And they get this share for a specific period of time. So sukuk are similar to bonds in that regular payments stop when they expire. So I think in concept, this is a great idea, but let's look at what is actually happening. So if I go to Franklin Global Sukuk Fund, one of the largest global sukuk funds in the world, I see their asset classification says fixed income. So for me, this is the first red flag because as I explained, you can't be both fixed income and Sharia compliant. Going back to the example of sukuk on the building is not going to have a fixed occupancy rate all the time. Furthermore, there is no telling what the rent is going to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, or even further into the future than that. So the rental income from the building will likely fluctuate based on occupancy rates and what the actual rent is. And if payments to Sukuk holders are actually a percentage of this rent, these payments should fluctuate as well. If the payments are fixed and determined ahead of time, something is off. However, maybe this is just a misnomer. Maybe they are calling it fixed income in error. They are simply trying to say it's not like equity investments, like stocks, for example, and there is no available classification options specific to Sukuk. Maybe that's the case. So let's look at their actual holdings before drawing any definitive conclusion. If we look at their list of holdings, they clearly mention a coupon rate. And what is a coupon rate? Well, a coupon rate or a coupon payment is the nominal yield that a bond is stated to pay on its issue date. In other words, if you invest in their largest holding, Adib Capital Invest 2 LTD, as of the date of recording this video at least, you should expect to receive a 7.13% return on the amount that you invested. Mind you, this is not a percentage of the profit that is generated from some business activity. This is a percentage of the principal amount that you invested. For whatever reason, they've kept the actual profit sharing percentage to themselves and decided to only display an estimate of the amount of return. Let's assume this is the case. Let's assume this is not telling us that there isn't any profit sharing, that this is actually their estimate of what your return will be. It's a peculiar way of stating things. I would consider it red flag number 2, but it's not a smoking gun. To be fair, their choice of how they display their investments is not a disqualifier, even though it is sort of hinting at a larger problem. So let's dig a bit deeper to avoid making any rash conclusions. On Franklin Templeton's fact sheet, they say quite clearly, the fund invests mainly in Sharia-compliant debt securities. So here I think we have a smoking gun. Debt securities are not profit and loss sharing arrangements. Profiting off of debt is clearly riba. Whether this profit is fixed or variable, whether it is guaranteed or not, any anticipated or hoped for profit from debt is riba. I know no commentator on Islamic financing worth their salt that will try to argue that profiting from debt is halal in Islam. There are two types of loans in Islam. Charitable loans, which are halal, and ribawi loans, which are haram. There's no third kind. For-profit halal debt financing is an oxymoron. It's no different than zabiha pork or halal alcohol. It doesn't make any sense. So now, at this point, as it relates to red flags, it's starting to look like a communist parade out there. Mind you, this is not something that is specific to Franklin Global Sukuk Fund. If I look at another Sukuk provider, I find the same violations. GFH Sukuk Fund, for example. On their fact sheet, they say they are paying 6.5% in dividends. Now, this seems like an obvious misuse of the word dividend, since the word dividends means that they come from profits, and it looks like they've been paying the same exact dividend percentage for the last 5 quarters. This seems like an oddly consistent profit that they are generating. Almost like what they are paying isn't actually profit-based at all. To Franklin Templeton's credit, at least they use the proper term for their payments, coupon rate, not dividends. Now, back to GFH. On their fact sheet, they say under investment highlights, they are aiming to achieve above average long-term investment returns with below average credit risk. Now, credit risk is the probability of a financial loss resulting from a borrower's failure to repay a loan. So what are we doing here? Are the payments received from investors coming from loans or are they coming from dividends? Their largest holding is KSCB, Tier 1 Sukuk Limited. If we look at what this is, they are Sukuk issued by Khaliji Commercial Bank. So best case scenario or worst case scenario, depending on how you look at it, you're sharing in the profits that are generated from this bank. Let's try to see if this Sukuk issuance is just you lending money to this bank or sharing in the profit of this bank. I'll leave it up to you, as I mentioned, to decide which one is worse. So I pulled up the document related to the actual issuance, and I have to say going through this hodgepodge of words was quite arduous. So please leave a like on this video and subscribe to the channel if you're benefiting from it. Most of you are not subscribed, which is a shame and a tragedy, on par with the tragedy of some of these sukuk. So let's at least alleviate one of these tragedies by subscribing to this channel. So going through this document, I finally found what I needed, which was in the periodic distribution section. It says the trustee shall distribute to certificate holders a distribution equal to the periodic distribution amount, each periodic distribution date. If a periodic distribution amount is required to be calculated, it shall be calculated as an amount equal to the product of the profit rate multiplied by the face amount of the relevant certificate, for so long as the certificates are outstanding. The certificates will bear profit at the rate of 10% per annum. That's the profit rate. Guys, what are we doing? You just changed the word interest rate to profit rate. There is no true profit and loss sharing here. You're taking the amount of the investment, multiplying it by the profit rate to calculate the periodic payment. With a bond, you just take the amount of the investment and multiply it by the coupon rate to calculate your periodic payment. So what's the difference here? This suck is no different than a traditional interest-bearing haram bond in all areas where it matters. And I have to say, unfortunately, the majority of these sukuk are interest-bearing loans. You know it, I know it. Anyone with even an elementary knowledge of what an interest-bearing loan is and knowledge of what is in these sukuk knows this to be true. And let me repeat, I'm not against sukuk as a concept, but 99% of what I've seen is pure foolery, playing on words to attract a Muslim audience, unfortunately. Now, what to do if you made money from these sukuk? Well, whether you made money through buying these sukuk or promoting them, if you benefited from them in any way, I'm afraid to say you benefited from riba. There's no question about this. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, cursed the one who consumes riba, the one who gives it, the one who writes it, and the two witnesses, and he said they are all the same. That is, the same in sin. So, I'm sorry to say, but to purify your wealth, I think you have to give whatever benefits you've earned from these sukuk to charity. The reason why I said this video would save you a lot of money and a headache and heartache in the future is that now, armed with the knowledge you have, you can avoid having to go through this purification process in the future by avoiding products that are suspect. As usual, I welcome anyone who wants to debate me on this, and trust me, you don't want to. I invite them to this channel to do exactly that. And to get my updated comparison of all major halal investing funds, sign up to our newsletter, link in bio. The updated comparison should be coming out soon, inshallah, so you don't want to miss it. The bottom line is that if you want to invest your money in a way that complies with Islamic teachings, you have to be willing to engage in real business activity, which means you have to be willing to assume your fair share of risk. Like if you like, subscribe for more. Wassalam.
Thank you for listening to the Practical Islamic Finance Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it and would like to leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. Until next time, take care. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.